start off by talking today about the things that happen when you first come to Christ. When you first come to Christ, you know, things are good, things are great, and your outlook is just seems to be so, it's just everything's going to be great. But then something happens, the enemy doesn't like that. You'll notice that as soon as you come to Christ, it seems like, I like to call it an incline. Right off the bat, you're going uphill. Amen? Everyone else gets to go straight on a nice wide path and no resistance. And if you're a Christian, automatically you're going uphill. When you go to the mall, I know a lot of us like the escalator, but how many hate it when it's broken and you, oh man, stupid mall. But that's what it's like to be a Christian. Amen. You just uphill. Yeah. It's an incline and it's uncomfortable and it's never very pleasant. But there's something about being uncomfortable that the Lord wants. Take for instance, eagles. The Lord compares us to eagles, and whenever the eagles get to be a certain age in the nest, in the beginning, the mother will rip the feathers from her breast and place them along the nest so that it's at optimum softness, and you're so comfortable. And that just like sounds like somewhere I want to be, you know, because that's where the softest feathers are. And that's just in the beginning, though. So when we all come to Christ, you know, things are good. But eventually things start getting a little rough. And what happens then is that when the eagle gets to be a certain age, the mother will then place thorns in the nest. Because the eaglet will just get too comfortable. I mean, it's good during the development stage, but there comes a point where the eagle needs to be an eagle. But the eagle doesn't know that it's an eagle. The eagle just knows that it's just comfortable, right? I mean, you know. And it's like when the mom comes to the eagle and says, all right, you know, it's time to fly. And then, you know, the baby eagle doesn't, you know, if it was to say, like, well, not right now, mom, I'm level 4. Come on, please, can we do this later? But, I mean, how many of us, you know, get in a comfortable position we don't want? When the Lord calls, hey, come on, it's... No, I don't want to do that. It's early, and I'm off tomorrow. I just want to sleep late and watch football, you know, stuff like that. Comfortable stuff, you know, be on the couch and just have my cookies right here. And they fall on my belly, and I just vacuum my belly up. And I'm talking about myself. That's the way I am. I like being comfortable. But you get to know yourself when you're not comfortable. Right. When the eaglet is no longer comfortable in the nest, then there comes a point when the mother takes the eaglet and just drops it. Right. And what happens? I mean, the eagles hang out very mountaintops and stuff. They don't just, you know, chill like on the second floor. I mean, they're up far. And so the mother will then drop the baby. So then what happens is the baby's, you know, screaming and it's all like, ah! Kicking and just, you know, mama, why you do this to me? And all on the way down, just kicking and screaming and trying to fly, right? Trying to flap its little wings. You know, may not have the strength to carry its weight, but it's trying. Well, right before the eagle's just going to hit the ground, right, here comes the mama. Picks that baby up. Woo! Right? And it's just like, oh, I'm sure the baby's like, oh, mama, there you are. I was worried. Can we go home now? Oh, yeah, here we go. There goes the nest. Why are we going past the nest, mama? We far. We just, mama, don't let me go. Ah! And it happens again. And it happens again and again until that baby eagle learns that you are an eagle meant to soar. Not to just hang around. Not just to do nothing. We're all eagles in here, right? Amen? Well, if you're in an uncomfortable position, then the Lord's getting ready to use you. You'll receive resistance, but resistance is good. For this part, I like to call it a demonstration. You know, like Pastor Ernest says, I like to use things, and these are the things I use on myself to make myself understand. And if I can use that for myself, then I know that I can use it to help others who may not understand. So I would like to call Josh House. Would you please come to the front? That's you. Josh. Yeah, Josh. Josh the refrigerator Perez, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, big boy. I called Josh for a reason, because specifically he knows football. And this is a football demonstration. The Lord spoke to his people in parables about farming and fishing. I don't know too much about those things, but I know football. I played football, and I know it, and I wasn't that good. I'm being honest, because you can't lie in church. I like to say I was good, but I wasn't all that good. I played, to be honest with you, I only played because Marty played, and I thought maybe I could be as good as Marty, and well, anyway. So, football player. When you come to the Lord, you'll find that, you know, you're going to get some resistance. Now, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, if you're just kind of hanging out and you're like, oh, I go to church, but then, you know, do some other things, mess around with these other little things over here, you know, like, okay, you know, what you doing over there? Oh, nothing. You're not going to go to church today. Nah, not today. No, I'm going to hang out with my friends, go to the river and stuff like that. You're going to find, you're not going to have a lot of resistance. You're not going to get, the enemy's not going to come against you because, well, you're serving him, right? I mean, you're not really doing anything good. You're not really doing anything bad, but you're not really doing anything, right? You're just kind of hanging out and just doing. But the minute you come to the Lord, it's like football. Because if I don't have a football, and Josh, just to let you know, this is like the line of scrimmage, right? And I don't have a football, so, you know, I can cruise over here and it's all good. But the minute you pick up your Bible, this is your football. And the minute you pick up your Bible, you're going to get resistance. Yeah. See that? I didn't even have to explain to him. I didn't say, okay, in this part of the demonstration, you're just going to, you see how he wrapped up? See, the enemy can be strong. And the enemy has power, and I've learned that. But the Lord has more power. Amen? Yeah. More power. But we can get in a state in our natural, physical state that when we pick up our Bible and we start heading towards, well, I'm going to go to church today. You know what I'm saying? You're going to find resistance. And then, like, no matter what, no matter what you do, you're going to get resistance until you learn how to fight, until you learn how to play, until you learn what to do. Because at first, you know, the Lord knows that we're not very smart. No, let's be honest. Because the enemy knows the game plan. The enemy knows we got healing and we got riches, and especially when we come with our tithe. Oh no, see, the Lord doesn't want, I mean, the enemy doesn't want us coming with our tithe. Because why? Because there's power. There's power in tithe. Yes, amen. And the minute we start realizing that if I tithe and then I could get money, and I mean, I got more money and I could tithe more, and the more I tithe and the more I get. And more. Now, see, I used to preach about what you get from the Lord because, well, I was a little immature and I didn't know. I liked the things I was getting from the Lord. I liked being able to go to the mall and go out to eat and, you know what I mean? Just do all the things I want to do, you know, go to the movies. But no, I'm being honest. I mean, I preach those things to you. But I've come to a point now that it's not about what I get, because I've already gotten it, and He's going to give me more. So now I'm just kind of like, well, you know, it's coming. So I don't do for the Lord to get. It's now I do for the Lord because I've already gotten. Amen. Amen. So I'm still using Josh, though. So like I said, so we get stronger. Right? We're like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to let this enemy win. I'm gonna do what I can. I'm gonna really go to church, and I'm gonna press through. That's why they say press through. Press through. It's not gonna be easy. That means press through sickness. That means maybe you get sick, and me loves to keep you out of church being sick. Or maybe you're not even sick. Maybe you're just really, really tired. The enemy likes to fatigue us. I tell you what, man, the enemy came against me this week. Didn't want me to preach this word. With the time change, and you wouldn't know what I had to go through. We ain't gonna have time. But just trust that like the incline. As soon as Marty said, hey, can you do the word while I'm gone? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And as soon as I said it, man, things just kept little by little. I'm like, oh, that, but when you realize what's coming against you, you know what I mean? And why it's coming against you, it's okay. It's easier to press through. And then you begin to realize that I have power and I can be like, devil, I bind you. And you can't move. And I make your way to the church. And like, ah, I made it to church this week. Amen. Thank you, Josh. Good Josh. Good game. Yeah. Big Joshy Josh. Resistance, but that's what it's like. Football. I use a football analogy because when you come into the church, you know the enemy sees you from far down. He sees you from all the way, the 100 down. Like they kick the ball, like oh, Lionel's got the Bible, let's go. And all week long, I'm gonna send this at him. I'm gonna send this at him, and he knows how to get to you. See, for me, all you need is a pretty woman. That's all you need. That she didn't get me so distracted. Because my eyes are on the Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. But don't let no pretty girl walk by. I just, boy, hey, son. And I got a Lionel over here. Eyes over here. You got, and I've learned to be hard on myself. Like, Lionel, she's pretty. She's fine. But over here. No. I'm going to tell it. Just last night, you know, for those of you who don't know, I work in a bar. And I had already knew the enemy's going to come at me, you know. And sure enough, really fine lady come in. Lionel, will you drink with me? And I had to tell her, like, no, I don't. I can't. I would, but I can't because I got, you know, I got church tomorrow. She's all, what? I got church tomorrow. She made me say it loud in the bar in front of everybody. Everybody in the bar already knows I'm a Christian, but I try to be the quiet Christian who counsels on the side. I don't want to be all throwing it out there because I know it can be condemning for some people. And I know there's some bad spirits that may get angry. Like, oh, don't we preaching the word in the bar? But I will preach the word in that bar. And in, that's where the Lord has me. That's where the Lord has me. So that's where my ministry is at, and a lot of people come to me for counsel, and I thank the Lord for that. There used to be a time when people would come to me for counsel when I was younger, before I knew, and I'm like, why are y'all talking to me? I'm trying to enjoy my beverage just like you. You know, I used to tell myself, I'm going to get messed up tonight. I ain't going to do nothing, and sure enough, hey, Lionel, I'm having these troubles with it. But now I embrace it. Amen. Now I embrace it, and as soon as somebody comes to me, I'm just like, well, let's start from the beginning. You know what I mean? And because that's what the Lord has had me for. I'm a counselor. I counsel those, and I help them. So, amen. So yeah, the enemy didn't want me to bring this word to you, and I got a lot of resistance. But let me just tell you, I know you're saying to yourself, well, man, with all this coming against you, well, why even be a Christian? I should just go to, you know, serving the devil. It's a lot easier. Yeah, it will be easier. But here's why you want to. Because when you get resistance, just like when you do push-ups and working out and stuff, you're going to get stronger. Amen? Everyone say, I'm going to be stronger. I don't care who you are, but if I was to say, everyone come up here and listen, how many push-ups can you do? You know, probably be able to hammer out, you know, one, two, three, however many, you know. I used to only be able to do 20. I would do 20, and then I'm like, oh, okay, that's it, I'm good. Oh, all right, I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's it, I'm good. Cut it. 19, 20, stop. But when I started rolling with Jesus, right, he took me beyond that. He'll do that. He'll get you to your limits. He goes, is that your limit? Okay, good. Now you're with me. I'm your rock. This is how far we can go. And he'll stretch you. And you're going to be uncomfortable like that eagle. Like, nah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do 50 push-ups. I don't want to do this. It hurts. Oh. But then what happens is you're stronger. And you're like, oh, yeah, I feel pretty good today. And the Lord likes it when you strut a little bit. Not a little bit. I mean, don't get all cocky. But he likes a little strut in your step. He likes you to have confidence. He wants you to have confidence in yourself. And that comes from strength. So he's going to get you in a situation where he's going to strengthen you. If he puts you with people that's always in your ear and just, you know, there's a reason for that. You know what I mean? You know, when I go to work and there's certain people, you know, I don't want to deal with. Like when I go to work and somebody walks in, you know, like what's that Michael Jackson video and they're all dead and stuff. You know what I mean? People come into the bar, it's just all, like, Lionel, you get him. I don't want to get him, but I will. And that shows everybody how I can talk to this person. And like, and we have to cut people off. Like, all right, that guy's cut off. You do it. Well, why don't you do it? You were serving him. Like, no, you're better at it. Don't give me that. Yeah, I'm better at it. But I do it because it's what I'm called to do. It's uncomfortable. I don't like telling these people these things. You know what I mean? I don't want to deal with these people. But the Lord has me dealing with these people. Why? To strengthen me. You know what I mean? When you ask the Lord for patience, best believe you're going to put somebody right there and be like, blah, 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 blah. And you just got to, don't choke them. I don't know. Okay. You know how it is. You know. I'm not the only one. But that's there to strengthen you. Wherever you're at, you go to work and it's there to strengthen you to be stronger. And as soon as you embrace it, as soon as you, okay, that's right. You know, I'll deal with this person. Lord, is that okay? Then he'll take them out of your path. Once you got that good attitude, don't be having no stank attitude with Jesus about it. You'll be like, I don't want to deal with that person. Well, I want you to deal with that person. As soon as you say, oh, this is the one you want me to deal with? Okay. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Yeah. And you show them love. You don't talk about Jesus. I mean, if you have to. But for the most part, they should know you're generous. Why? Because you give. They should know you're patient. Why? Because they see you being patient. Right? That's what it comes from. You become strengthened. You will be stronger. You will be smarter. You will be faster. You will be confident. Now, let me tell you about confidence. It's a Latin word, and it's broken into two parts. Confidence is con, which is Spanish for con. You may know it as con queso, okay? That's how I learned it, con, right? Okay, so I'm sharing that with you, con, which means with, con queso, with cheese, right? Okay, so con, all right. I know. Okay. And then fident. Fident means is Spanish for faith. So all that really means, confidence just means with faith. Oh, wow. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord. Yes, that's good. But the Lord wants you to have faith in yourself. Faith in yourself that you can do it. Not just, well, you know, there was a time when I first came to Jesus. I would ask my aunt to pray for everything. Thea, can you pray for this? Thea, can you pray for that? And in the beginning, she would, and she was happy to be there. But there came a point, and I always remember this when I said, Thea, can you pray for my apartment and my house? And she said, well, why can't you? Me? Not me. I'm not worthy. I'm not. I haven't been going to church as much. And the enemy just started, you know, telling me all the things that I wasn't aware of. That I had this power within me. I can bind the devil? I can lay my hands on the sick and they'll become healed? No, not me. I mean, that might be cool for somebody else who goes to church a lot and has a tie and dresses really nice, but not me, Lord. I'm over here in tennis shoes and no, you know, I work in a bar. And these are all the things that I would reason to myself. And when she told me that, she goes, no, I'm not, you know, not that, she didn't say that I wouldn't, but she was just like, why can't you? And it was a long time before that settled in. I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? That it took a while before I realized that I could, and little by little, the Lord, you know, brought somebody sick in front of me and I prayed for them and I witnessed them feel better. Amen. And I was like, wow, there's power in that, you know? And then I would see in my tithe, like, oh, wow, you know, I'm getting stuff, man. I'm able to buy. There's no lack.
Hallelujah.
With Jesus, there is no lack. If you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about Cadillac. I'm talking about lack, not having the money to pay your bills, not having food. The Lord wants you to have food. Now, for me, he had to pull back on the food. They're like, all right, Lana, you're eating a little bit too much, you know? And I was, you know, I like to eat. And, Big man in my family. I'll tell you what, man. Marty's nickname was Gordo. And which, for those of you know, that means big, large. I had another cousin. His name was Chunky. You know, I myself was very round. Looked like a sumo wrestler when I was younger. And the Chinese eyes didn't help. So, lots of big, even the skinniest in my family were pretty swollen, like they're skinny by our standards, but you get them in the real world, they're pretty regular, you know. So I like to eat. So the Lord had to show me self-control, you know what I mean, and a lot of times I was eating to feel better, and he showed me to feel better even before I even got to my meal. So you know what I mean. Amen. So you will be stronger when He gets you in these positions of resistance. Don't resist, because it's there for your good, to make you stronger. And as soon as you embrace it, it will go away. The Lord will bring people in my path. Like, oh man, is this that one I got to deal with? But the better attitude I have, the sooner I just start digging in, He'll take it away. He'll take it away. But if I resist it, if I know, you know what, Lord, I can't deal with this manager at this job. I'm gonna just quit my job, and then I'm gonna go to this other place because I hear the people over there are better. And well, what, you know what, you're gonna meet that same exact person, probably even worse, in the next place you go. And they'll on the first day you're gonna see that person, be like, oh no, not you. I thought I left you. Nope. So embrace it. But it's good for us. It's got a reason,
yes.
But
amen.
You can't resist. You will be happy when you roll down this lane. I know it seems like, oh, this resistance. When you first come to Jesus, imagine you putting on a backpack, you know, big heavy boots, and going uphill, you know, carrying something in this hand, maybe something in this hand too. Just going uphill. As a Christian, that's what it's like, but you will be stronger. Yes. Stronger than the person who just gets to stroll all cool down the straight,
amen,
wide, spacious path. You know, it may not look fair because you're over here working, why am I sweating? And we're going to the same place. I got all this weight on me and I just, but when you take, the Lord will get you to a level where then you get to take all that off and you're just stronger. Boy, look at that, huh?
Hallelujah.
And then you're confident. Woo, confident in yourself. You won't need alcohol. A lot of people say alcohol, they call it liquid courage and stuff. I see guys, oh, who's that pretty girl? Okay, I'm going to go talk to her. No, you won't need that when you roll with Jesus. You will wake up feeling confident, like, I feel good today. But you got to speak it. You got, Lord, I feel good. Woo! When you look in that mirror and say, oh, yeah, you handsome. You're going to meet your... And it's not about being vain. It's about being confident. You tell yourself, you can tell yourself whatever you want. You can also tell yourself, oh man, look at that belly hanging over them jeans. Ain't no girl gonna want no belly hanging over jean type of dude. You know what I mean? And I could, you know, or I could suck it in and be like, what belly are hanging over the jeans? I am handsome. But for the longest time, I didn't feel handsome. I didn't feel strong. I didn't feel, if I felt whooped. I felt like just unworthy or just, you know, and I would just tell myself these things. But as soon as I start rolling with Jesus, he said, little by little, and he'll pump you up. And he'll get you to a place. He'll get you to a place. And you know what? You'll know when you're there. For those of you who don't know, he's over there flexing like this. He'll get you to a place, and you'll know you're arrived because someone else will tell you. They'll be like, oh, man, you're looking pretty good. You're losing weight. Those new jeans, you know, you're. Wow, Lana, you know how to dress. And they'll tell you. They'll brag on you. Not you. You don't have to tell these people, oh, they like the shirt. I bought it. Yeah. No. They will brag on you. And they will confirm you. And the Lord will put somebody in your place. And they'll just be talking about you. All good. And you'll just be like, oh, shut up. Whatever. It's okay to drink it in. That's right. Because, I mean, you may have some people in your life just telling you. They'll be telling you how not pretty you are,
right,
or how not cool you are. But that's just a trick of the enemy. See, we're all cool, and especially you start rolling with Jesus, he'll make you that much more cooler, right? But the enemy just will have you try to have you in a place where you know what, you're not very cool at all. You know, you're not very smart. You're not nothing. You know, but you can't believe that. Because the Lord doesn't say that. I never find anywhere in the Bible that says, you know, you're a loser. You know,
that's right.
I don't. You know, he all he says is that we're victorious. We're all victors.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Everything I hear is everything is a winner. There ain't no loser in there. And I know because I've looked. You know, because that's been spoken over my life. You know that I was a loser, and it discouraged me from wanting to get up here and preach. Because I thought, nah, surely you don't want no loser preaching at the house of manna. That's for winners. And I was content with just sitting in the back and absorbing information. Now here I am. And I know that,
amen.
You know, the Lord's got a good plan for me, you know.
But
that's a confidence that he put in me. Like the baby eagle, you know what I mean? But he's got to get you uncomfortable out of a spot. You know what I mean? You can't be all comfortable. Right now, I don't have an apartment. But I'm not stressing it too much. I have to blow up an air mattress. I stay with my cousin, but I'm happy. You know, like Pastor Ana says, you know, I was able to lay my head down on an air mattress, you know, and I got rest. I had peace. I slept good. I was snoring. Drool. When you have peace, you sleep good. When you have peace, you will sleep good. There's some people who wake up, what was that? Well, that's not peace. You know what I mean? Peace is like, Lionel, wake up. It's time to go. Come on. I'm up. That's peace. And that feels good. And I make that joke, but I know there's some people in here that probably have some hard time sleeping. You know? And peace is a blessing. Amen? You will be restored, you will be renewed. Renewed. What does that mean to some people? Refurbished. Have you ever had like an old couch and send it somewhere and then they reupholster it and when you get it back, it's like a whole new couch, right? Like, oh, it's awesome. But really, it's the same old couch. You know what I mean? It's just been renewed. And a lot of times when you come to Jesus, well, you know, you think what you have is gone, it's broken. It's like, well, you know, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. But the Lord can renew you like new.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people, when I tell them I'm 43, they're like, no. But it's because I've been rolling with Jesus. He breathes life into me.
Hallelujah.
Strength. You know what I mean?
I was at
the mall with this girl. She's 23. I was at the mall, and we were going up the steps. Now, I was skipping steps. I wasn't showing off, but the Lord has blessed me with strength in my legs. I got, you know, so I'm skipping steps, and she sees me. She goes, oh, well, you skipping steps? So next thing you know, we're racing up the stairs, and then she gets to the top. She says, oh, and I was like, oh, all right, cool, you know. And I wasn't showing off, but she was like, what do you think, you're 23 now? And I was like, and I took that as like, wow, I know, but I feel 23. Amen? But that's for everybody in here.
Right.
It doesn't matter, you know what I mean? And the Lord likes to show off.
He sure does.
If you're really old, oh man, he really like, oh, give me that person, because let me put my strength.
Hallelujah.
And you just watch that little old person be stronger than all of y'all. Stronger than all of y'all, you know what I mean? Amen. How much does joy cost? Anybody know? Right? What about health? How much do you pay for health? Anybody know what the price tag on that is? No. But these are the things that the Lord blesses you with when you tithe. Health, you know, and a lot of people don't think about health until they're sick. Right? Until you can't get up. I'm like, oh man, I wish I was healthy. And then, you know, when you are healthy, you go back to that thing that probably made you unhealthy. Right? I mean, we're human. The Lord, God knows we're human. We can't help it. I mean, we all like to do things that feel good, that are just uncomfortable. I mean, that are just comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We just want to be in the AC with the TV on and just nice and quiet and just have. But you can't really do anything in that setting. Who's being helped? Who are you ministering to if you're just on the couch? Right? That's why the Lord has me out of an apartment. I felt like you put thorns in my apartment. Like, oh, I can't sleep there tonight. But it's okay. I know eventually he'll get me to a level where I will have an apartment. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Cool. All right. Well, I think I went through all that part. For this portion. Why are y'all laughing? I haven't said anything funny. Amen. For this portion, I want to pray for y'all, right? But before I do, I want you to get it in your hearts what it is you want me to pray for, right? We all come to church wanting something. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Come to church with your petition. Leave it at the cross and believe that the Lord's going to do it, okay? It's hand in hand. You got to have faith. And that's what moves his hands, not your situation. You can have a situation where, someone's being abused or whatever, or just a bad situation. And, if you just, well, I pray that happens but you got to believe. That's what moves his hands. It's like, Lord, I believe you're going to do it. And that's why you say, I thank you in advance for already doing it. Because when you do that, you're like, you show God, I already know you. But it's like if you have a headache, Lord, help me with this headache. But meanwhile, I'm going to take this Tylenol. Well, is your faith more in the Tylenol? Or is your faith more in that he's going to lay his hand on you and heal you? Because you got to get out there. You got to get away from that Tylenol. Leave it behind. And just step out there and believe, well, I still got this headache right now, but I'm going to go and do this thing that I got to go do. And just watch him take that away from you. Amen? So I want you to get in your hearts what it is you want me to pray for. And if you'd like, go ahead and raise your hand and let's get it out there. Say, hey, you know, I need this. Hey, I need that. You're in a family setting right now. Now is the time to say something. And if I can add a word to that, you know, and pray over you. I believe I've prayed for people before. I've extended my hand. And the Lord has shown me that there was healing. I believe. Didn't I pray for you with your neck one time? The Lord told me. I remember she was sitting over here, and I was sitting, and she had this thing on her neck, and the Lord was like, "You need to pray for her." So I came over here, and she moved over there, and I was like, "Where'd she go?" And she was over there, so I'm chasing her around, and I prayed for her, and then later on, I found out that she. What happened? Your neck was feeling better. It got better. Amen. And that's her saying it. I didn't give you any money to say that, did I? No. No, but you might think that in the church. I know I would think that, but nah, they probably know each other. They probably like paid her. You probably say, hey, you're gonna say this in church when I point at you. No. No. I only see her in church. And the Lord asked me, and I extended my hand and said it's very simply, you know, yada, yada, yada. So I'd like to do that today here. So if you have the courage to raise your hand and just say, you know what, I'm believing. Let's start with you. What would you like me to pray for? Your husband coming to church? Oh, you know what? We've talked about that before, didn't we? At the barbecue. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Let me get that in there. Okay. What else? Husband to church. I'm gonna pray, but I want to get them all in. I'm going to get them all in. About healing over your joints.
What else?
Finances. Finances? Healing in your heart and finances. Ooh, head's coming up. Hold on. I got to absorb this. It's my first time doing this. I'm extending myself. This is not something I'd plan to do, but the Lord is like, go on, I showed you this. So I'm stepping out there, okay? Healing in your bones? Healing in your bones. What's up? Ooh, lots of healing. Sherry? All this healing today. All right. I'm not going to take any more because I'm just going to blanket prayer. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. She was before. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Let's all close our eyes, and I'm going to pray. Ooh, Heavenly Father, you heard the hearts of your people. Yes. No, it's okay. Let the baby cry. She's crying out to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Crying out to the Lord. Amen, yeah. Jesus. Thank you. Lord, you heard the petitions. I mean, a lot of people, Lord, vocalized what it is they wanted. Healing in the joints, Father. Healing in the bones, Father. Father, so we pray for you to just swirl around these people, Father, and just, there's healing in church. Yeah. There is healing in church, Father, and we just pray that you come and lay your healing hand because you are the great physician. And whatever physicians come along and say, you have this, you have that, no, we don't accept that, Father, because the Bible says we have healing in your mighty name, Father. We pray for peace, for those wanting peace. We pray for financial explosion, Father, for those needing money. A blanket prayer, Father, over everyone. Healing, health, and strength, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
Woo! I feel good. Yeah. Mm-mm. All right. I think I've done everything I wanted to do while I was up here. I prayed for those. Did I miss anything? Come to church? You see that? You see that? I was feeling a little stupid because I didn't say nothing about her husband. But she just said, he's coming.
Amen.
She don't need to hear it from my voice. She just said, he's coming.
Amen.
We all accept that. We all hear it.
Yes.
All in agreement as a family. Oh, man, we're going to see him in church. We're going to be sitting down one day being like, who is that? Marty's cousin. He's funny. In church one day. Oh,
amen.
In that chair right here.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Woo, that felt good. All right, in conclusion, this is, I'm going Old Testament right now, old school. And and the Lord's, I'm sorry, if you want to see what I'm reading. Numbers. I'm going to go to Numbers, and it's Numbers 7, and I'm going 7:22 to 27. 22 to 27 Numbers. Amen. Y gracias, Jesucristo, para Raúl, Señor. Amen. That was Spanish, by the way, for if you... I don't think I messed it up. Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his consciousness upon you and give you his peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Woo! I like that part. And I will bless them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to close right there. Thanks, guys. Thank you for shopping at the House of Manna.
All right, give it up for Lionel, right? The Lord really spoke through him today. So we thank God that Lionel accepted the challenge, right? To stretch out and do something out of his comfort level. So, you know, we had a great message today. First we heard, you know, about that we're the church, right? We're part of the House of Manna when we're out there on the streets. We heard about strength. And we heard that it's time to get the heck out the nest, correct? So now's not the time for us to be the timid, quiet Christians that we've been for years. Okay? I read the news every day, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's actually a TV show now called Lucifer that that tries to tell people, hey, the devil ain't such a bad guy. It's still on TV. Now, something gets on TV for these other little small groups. I don't like that. They yank it off. Yet Christians are huge. Why is Lucifer still on TV? Because we don't talk. We're quiet. We need to get involved. How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So we have the Ark of Manna. That's our outreach program here. And we have some stuff that's coming up. Okay. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt at the Mirasol Apartments. That's going to be Saturday, March 19th from 4 to 6. We need volunteers there by 3 p.m. It's going to be at 4222 El Paso Street. And we are going to get a calendar that you guys can take home with you. So, you know, because I know you're not going to remember everything I say. That's for sure. I don't remember everything I say. And I know my wife sure doesn't remember everything I say. We're going to buddy up with Pastor John David. I know some of you guys have seen him. He has spoken here. Him and his wife are wonderful people. And they truly do have a heart for the kingdom. You know, sometimes we can be kind of leery about, that ministry over there. These guys are not like that. These guys truly have the same vision that we have, okay? It's going to be the He is Risen Easter Egg Hunt, and it's going to be with Pastor John David. It's going to be 2 days. It's going to be March 25th. That one's going to be from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Palm Apartments, and that's 3735 East Commerce. There's also going to be one the 26th, same time, but at a different location, and that's still to be announced. So, on the back here. Please donate plastic eggs and hard candy, no chocolate. So we are going to take donations here for that. So see Cherie or myself. You can bring them in, Wednesdays or Sundays. We need to have that stuff here by 3:23, March 23rd. And also, the spare change. This is the building fund thing here, okay? I know y'all got something on the floor mats, you know, it might be covered with candy or syrup or french fries, whatever. Clean it off, bring it in. Don't clean it off, whatever. Bring it in. This is strictly to go, you know, not for anything other than trying to get a new home for us, okay? A great building. Pastor Marty has a great vision, and Pastor Inez as well, of what they want to do. You know, they want to have a real church for the children where, you know, it's detached and separate, and they can do their own thing and have a playground for them, whatever. So this is something that we really need to do. Spare change, it doesn't hurt at all to give. It really doesn't. You know, I used to think that I was too good to pick up spare change, and then I didn't have a job, and so now I see quarters or nickels, pennies, whatever, I'll pick it up. I don't care. I really don't. And I will put it in a coin. My wife knows that we have a coin jar at home, and it's going to be coming here. once it gets filled up. So it's not going anywhere else, and it ain't painful. It, you know, it's not as hard as it's paper money to give. So please be generous with that. You know, it really is. John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, raised $19 million by doing that right there. Okay, now he's a little bit bigger church than me, you know, but that's fine. We can still raise funds to just put that away, and we are believing in God that it is going to happen, right? So just, you know, also keep Pastor Marty and